Welcome back to Generational Sense, where we make sense of building generational wealth. I'm Nate, here with my dad, and today we're diving into a topic that everybody loves, but every car owner needs to understand, car insurance. So I know it's not the most fun topic. However, I am currently on the search for car insurance to add to my vehicle. As I'm moving on with a different provider. And so we're going to be kind of getting through the basics of car insurance. If you're currently looking for it, unfortunately, it is a necessity and a non-negotiable. So we're going to kind of work through that topic today. Yes. So let's start with the basics, Dad. What exactly is car insurance or auto insurance? And why is it a non-negotiable for drivers?
Well, Nate, I'm excited about this topic because I've been paying for your car insurance. I'm glad to hear that you are moving along and getting ready to take care of this yourself.
Exciting for you, not as much for me.
Yeah. So what was your question again? I was just too fired up.
No, you're just starting out with the basics. You know, what exactly is car or auto insurance for those who don't know, and why is it a non-negotiable for all drivers?
So every state requires that its drivers have automobile insurance. So, and that's a great question. You know, why is that? It's important that we understand that, because if we understand that, we also understand why we need it, and we'll go out and take care of that business that we have to. So automobiles are inherently dangerous. You know, your age group is the someone may correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe it's the leading cause of death. And so that just goes to show you what a big deal it is to be able to drive a vehicle and the privilege of that. And that's part of it. Driving is a privilege that's given to us by our state, and that's why we have to have a license to do it. And part of that requirement to have that privilege is that we protect ourselves and others from unexpected accidents and the things that can happen when driving a car. The number one reason I think states require us to have automobile insurance is because we may cause serious harm to someone else through our accidents. It's not so much to protect us and what happens to us personally, although there is an important public policy element to that, but the overriding public policy is that we don't want somebody to be permanently injured or to have, you know, a very expensive vehicle damaged and not have some way for the person at fault to take care of that harm.
Right.
And that liability. Because, you know, we have another principle in law is that when we, through our own negligence, cause harm to someone else, we're required to make them whole. And we make them whole generally through money, because there's, you know, we can't necessarily fix somebody's leg or back or neck or whatever. So we pay money to compensate for the harm that we've caused.
Right.
And so that's why it's required.
Gotcha. So I know, doing some of my own research, you know, there's different types of coverage. So in simple terms, could you break down maybe the few that I saw, such as like liability, collision, or comprehensive?
Okay. The most important.
That's kind of a big question.
The one that's mandatory is liability. You are required to have a certain minimum. I believe in Georgia, well, it's somewhere around $50,000 to $100,000. I don't remember the exact amount. And so the idea behind that minimum is that, you know, it's looking at actuarial tables and statistics and deciding that, well, this will cover most of the harms that you might do to someone else when you're driving your vehicle. You're also required to cover a liability for another person's vehicle and damage to their property. So you're required to carry two different kinds of liability. Personal, that means you harm somebody's person, their body, and then property, you cause damage to somebody's vehicle. Now, most of the time when somebody goes to buy a policy, they also will protect themselves in some ways as well, and we can get into that. But what other questions do you have about the property and the personal liability?
Yeah, I mean, you explained it pretty well. We could get probably really in depth on those if we wanted to, but just kind of wanted a simple terms overview of both of those.
Well, while we're on that, I think one of the more important questions people will face when they walk into the insurance office is, okay, I'm getting this $100,000 of coverage or whatever's mandatory and whatever's required by the state. You can't go below that. But should I get more?
Yeah.
And, you know, I there's two ways of thinking about that. Number one is, do you want to cover more than the maybe the 75% of accidents where somebody only experiences that level of harm? And my answer to that personally is yes. You know, if I call somebody $500,000 or $1 million in injury, then I want them to be compensated for that. And so I think a higher number is more reasonable, at least 300,000, maybe 500,000. And for the amount of money it costs, you know, really going up to $1 million, I think is fair. Obviously, when you're young, or even if you're older and you're on a really tight budget, it's going to be tempted to save that 50 or 100 bucks that it costs to get that extra insurance. But I do want folks to think about the principle of that and the morals behind that, and to think about what they would want others on the road to be carrying in the way of liability insurance.
Let's grow on that a little bit. So
and you
why,
are here's another aspect of it. You are liable.
Right.
If the damage you do is $500,000 and you only have $100,000 in coverage and you own a house or you own a boat or something like that, they can come and get that property. You know, so you definitely want to carry more if you have more. If you have assets to protect, then you definitely need to carry more. So, you know, I was more thinking of the morals and the principles of it. When you add in that you have that much more to protect, then it becomes a no-brainer. When you've got those assets, that means you've got that money, you can afford it, and you should go ahead and dive in for it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It just makes more sense. You know, it does add on that extra cost, but it's the big question of why you have insurance in the first place of answering that, well, if it does happen, you know, you never know. Especially if you are liable for what's happened, then you want to make sure you have that coverage. Otherwise, you know, you could be in some trouble with, having to come up with that money somehow. And it's not always the best option. Having that insurance there is a big lifesaver, and it can help you have your back a lot. So just putting that money basically aside to where the insurance has your back will make up for it. So it's smart. I agree. I kind of do want to dig into that a little bit more on, you know, car insurance rates, and they do vary a good bit. Is there anything other than that that could cause those costs to vary so much?
The cost of insurance nowadays are varying a lot because of the financial position that the auto insurance companies are in. Some of them are experiencing more in the way of claims. Claims have gone way up, especially since COVID.
Really?
But also, and part of that was because we all remember how the supply chain became very constrained. That caused used cars to become more valuable. Mm-hmm. Those prices are still correcting even now. And so all car values have gone up.
Yeah.
And so when something happens to a vehicle, it's a lot more likely that the insurance company is going to be on the hook for more money.
Right.
Both because of car valuations and also the modern cars are becoming more, are incorporating a lot of high-tech features.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes the arrays of sensors and things that are put onto these cars, the cost to replace and repair those is so high that the auto insurance companies, both for their own risk of having the job done correctly and being exposed to potential future liability, and also because of the cost of the repairs, they're more quickly indicating that vehicles are totaled. And then they have to replace the entire value of the vehicles. For a lot of, there's several factors that have kind of come all together at the same time that have caused auto insurance rates to really go up. And so the answer to your sort of the underlying question here is, what do you do about that? And all you can do is shop.
Yeah.
If you've been with the same auto company for a very long time, chances are they have raised your rates. They're not, from what I understand, from listening to others and seeing what's happening on the street and in my own circumstances, your old insurance company that you've been with for a while, they're not giving you a discount just because of your loyalty.
Yeah.
In fact, they may even be ready to cut you because of your profile or whatever it is about you, they've become much more draconian about how they go about selling their insurance products. So I would encourage you, you know, every so often, definitely to shop and make sure you're getting the fairest rate that you can. The coverages are all nearly the same because mm-hmm. auto insurance is so heavily regulated by the states. And so when you get your actual coverage, you're going to have schedules such as Part A, Part B, Part C, these different parts of an insurance policy that are actually pretty much uniform from one company to the next. The only thing that really changes are those things that you add on as additional add-ons for your coverage. The four primary parts don't really change.
Gotcha. So are there, I guess with that, are there any ways, since it is so regulated, that drivers can lower maybe their premiums without compromising on protection at all?
Well, one thing that insurance companies like to do is get more business. And sometimes they'll give you a discount for bringing them other coverages, such as your homeowners, your umbrella. Sometimes if you own a small business or something, they may allow you to work with them in a way that you get a discount for having those types of multiple policies. The most common one is a combination of homeowners and auto.
Yeah,
give you a discount. Bundling.
I know, especially with all the Super Bowl ads. We've seen plenty of those commercials the past couple of days and weeks.
Absolutely. And you know, at your age too, you know, your college transcript, your grades may still give you some kind of discount. Okay. Multiple cars, maybe, you know, having more than one car on the policy can result in a discount. So the smartest thing to do is ask your agent or to ask the company as you're comparison shopping and they know they're competing for your business, you know, for all of the discounts that are available. And of course, use the internet to search that particular company and find out what their special programs look like and how you might qualify for a discount.
Yeah, let's talk about that some more. When shopping, do you have any kind of tips for, I guess, really how to go about it, how to kind of get started and shopping different insurances and the best way to get, you know, contacting them and that sort of thing?
It's gotten a little hairier with the online services because from what I understand, they've gotten more tied in with specific insurance companies. There's become a little bit of a, I can't think of the word, but, you know, a patting on the back and a handshake agreement, you know, to collect data and information, and it's become more of a sales platform rather than a platform where you go and really do honest comparison shopping. Can't hurt. You're giving up some privacy when you put all of your information into a system like you would find online. So that hasn't been my favorite way of shopping. I've had good luck with my independent agent. So going to an independent insurance agency that can shop multiple companies for you, you know, when the time comes, they can take all your data and look at all the different ways that they might be able to find you a good policy. Has to be one that, you know, isn't necessarily profiting from giving your business to a certain company because that could create bias. Kind of like going to a financial advisor that makes all their money by selling you products instead of a fiduciary on advisor. So you want your agent to be somewhat of a fiduciary towards you. Okay. There's not technically a fiduciary relationship there from what I understand, but you know, they do want your business. They want to build a book of business with you, have that for years. So a good independent agent might be a way to go. And that's where I've landed right now.
Yeah.
And then you've got your built-in companies that aren't generally sold by independents, but are sold by agents for that specific company. State Farm is a great example of that a lot of people know very well. They tend to have their own agents, and you may not be able to get a quote from them through an independent. I'm not sure about that. So you may want to also go down and check with those specific companies. Geico is a very online type company as well as Progressive. So you might want to check with your independent agent, make sure they're getting quotes from those companies. And if they're not, then go online to those companies that specialize in more of the remote digital sort of facing platform and maybe go get another quote from those companies. And again, it's a lot of work, so it's not something I would want to repeat every single year.
Sure.
You know, you definitely want to do it if you get a big hike in your rates. And if you're a first timer, then definitely shop around a little bit, find out, you know, where you should start your business. If, you know, every few years when you feel like things have kind of crept up for a while, you might want to test the market and see what's happening. I just did that after 3 or 4 years this past year And it turned out I was doing as well as I could do by just staying put, and actually would have run me a lot more had I moved. So I stayed put, but it had gone up so much because of this whole thing that's happened. You know, yeah. I was talking about since COVID with the auto rates and vehicle values and all being so much more difficult for the insurance companies.
Right. It's interesting to hear that side of it and why they've gone up so much, because obviously I haven't, you know, been thinking about that until more recently. Let's connect the dots a little bit. I know we've went over some of these topics throughout just conversation so far, but how exactly does car insurance fit into someone's overall money management strategy or their finances?
It's a huge part of it because it's probably, you know, I'm thinking about major expenses here would be your housing, your utilities, your groceries, and then you start looking at maybe having a car loan and things like that. Well, you know, we all need transportation of some type. And so, you know, if you're living in a place where you need to have a vehicle, then you know, you're in a situation where you've got to factor that into your budget. And for somebody young like you, you know, I bet you're going to find it's going to be at least $200, if not $300 a month.
Yeah,
it's going to have to work into your budget. So, you know, it used to be we could say it was $90 to $100 a month, but that's how much it's going up.
Very fortunate times.
Yeah, that's how much it's going up in the past 5 or 10 years.
Yeah,
that it's become, you know, 3 times as much as it was 10, 20 years ago, and so it's become a much bigger part of the budget with that inflation. So, yeah, I would definitely factor it into your budget. And unfortunately, it's something that's going to hit that budget pretty hard. You know, and in some places, because of that, you know, folks are getting away from car vehicle ownership. And
yeah.
I'm not plugging Tesla stock because it's volatile as could ever be. But, it is considered potentially a very valuable company because of this whole idea of robo-taxis and self-driving.
Yeah.
A big part of that is vehicle cost, you know. So when you think about, well, you know, where's the value add in something like, a less expensive way of getting around? It's because it's becoming so expensive to provide transportation for your own self. And so, you know, folks are gravitating still towards large cities like New York and, you know, places that have good public transportation where they don't have to own a vehicle. You know,
yeah,
you can just rent one when they need to.
Yeah, no, it's very true. Like, I'm in the Atlanta area, and I still have yet to take the MARTA or anything. But it's unfortunate that the MARTA doesn't reach the places I usually go, because we're right by a station now. But I'd use it if it was more convenient for where I was trying to go. But no, that's a great point. I am curious, as far as the financial side of it, you mentioned the bundling of car insurance and home insurance and things like that. Are those usually a smart move, or have you seen cases where it's not a smart move to save a little money? Because I know obviously many commercials will tell you it's a smart move, but I wanted to kind of pick your brain on your experience, whether that was so.
In my experience, it's going to depend on your insurance.
Sure. Yeah.
And what you get quoted. My experience has been that because the home insurance and renter's insurance and these other things that might bundle with auto insurance are so much less expensive, that the savings from the discount on the auto insurance is going to dictate that you end up getting all of your insurance from the same company.
Yeah.
And a lot of your other insurance properties like boat and umbrella and motorcycle and umbrellas and things are very close in price no matter where you buy them. It's the auto insurance, because it's so expensive, that tends to make the difference.
Gotcha.
But that's definitely not set in stone.
Sure.
You know, shop that around and see.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I don't really have too many other questions. Kind of just wanted to kind of get an overview of that as I'm kind of stepping into it. Do you have any other maybe tips or thoughts before we end out the episode today on car insurance?
Yeah, if you have a nice newer car,
mm-hmm.
I recommend uninsured motorist coverage. Or
okay.
If you're worried about, or if you don't have a lot of assets right now, and you're worried about lost earnings, pain and suffering, injuries to yourself, then I would also recommend uninsured motorist coverage. Okay. Because you want to have a way of covering what happens to you. So that could be an important part of your coverage. If you're not carrying health insurance, then you might want to get the medical payments coverage. That's part B mm-hmm. of your, or if you have a really high deductible, that yeah. might also be useful. It's going to cover a relatively modest part of your medical expenses. Generally, if you have medical payments coverage, you can look at that and see. But it doesn't add a lot of cost to the policy. So yeah. that's something to think about. I don't generally worry about it one way or the other. I just ask the agent, hey, how much is it? It's $5 a year, then sure, add it on there.
Yeah.
And if it's 50, maybe I'll say no because I have health coverage. Just kind of depends. Again, what's required is liability. Definitely want to have that. Then these other things like the medical payments, the uninsured motors, those are to protect you. And there's this thing called collision.
Yeah.
It also could be called physical damage coverage. What if a tree falls on your car? Yeah. What if it's damaged in a storm? These kinds of things. You're going to be required to have that if you have a loan on your vehicle generally, because that company carrying your loan wants you to have that vehicle covered.
Right.
But let's say you don't have a loan, you've paid for your vehicle, do you need that comprehensive, that physical damage coverage? Again, that's going to boil down to what is your risk tolerance? Do you want to pay for it versus not paying for it? I'll add again that, generally that physical damage coverage is not that big of a part of the overall cost. The big thing is that liability yeah. for the other vehicle, that liability for the other person and their harm. That's going to be, 80-90% of the cost of your insurance. Want to go ahead and add, it adds up though. You might end up paying another $50 a month or something by the time you add all these other coverages. If that takes your cost down from say $2,500 a year to $2,100, then that $400 on a tight budget may be something where you're like, okay, well, I've got health coverage. I've got an older vehicle. I'm okay if it gets a few dents from a tree limb or something.
Yeah.
Or I'd rather just save the money and hope that, I don't end up, but if I do, I can go buy another used car, So you just kind of have to, you decide how much risk you're willing to take versus what yeah. your budget is now and make those decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And, if you are wondering or you're about to take it on, go check out our budgeting episode. I do think there's a lot of good information on how to kind of fit it into your budget, or maybe look at where you need to cut back to make sure you can afford it. If you're maybe on a lower income like I am right now, where, you're just fresh out of college, but, you've got those big expenses, or maybe you're, even younger. So make sure to go take a look at that episode. But this cleared up a lot for me on kind of where to take my next steps. If you do have any questions, feel free to leave them in the comments and we'll get to those as well. But that's a wrap on today's episode of Generational Sense. If you did find this useful, don't forget to keep following and subscribing to the episode and share it with someone else who may need to save on their car insurance or look at new options. Yeah, so I appreciate everybody tuning in today, and drive safe and spend smart.